Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. Warning, Pastor Scheidbach is not politically correct, and even more shocking, he is a Christian who uses the word God and prays in Jesus' name in public.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, brain masseur. Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lanterns in the church belfry arch that signal the enemy is on the march. An enemy who would steal from us our liberty. Merry Christmas. Remember to count your blessings. We have made it a tradition in our family to visit the Great American Melodrama in Oceano to enjoy their presentation of the Christmas Carol, always excellently done. As I watched the program this year, I got to ruminating. I thought how this is a Christmas when many of us are haunted by the ghosts of Christmas past, present, and future. Not in the way Scrooge was haunted. Surely not moi, at least not for the same reasons. Maybe, in fact, a reverse of the reason for the haunting. Let me take a stab at explaining myself here. The unemployment rate has climbed from something like, what was it, 4 to 5% some few years ago to double digits today, and climbing. Many people are forced to cut back on their Christmas buying, to scale down their Christmas celebration. The contrast between what they were able to do the last few years with what they are able to do this year generates a sort of, well, shall we say, ghost of Christmas past, memories of bygone Christmases. But then there is the jolly old ghost of Christmas present, and we find that truly all of the things that actually make our Christmas special and warm, all of these are very much alive and well, family, friends, church, the remembrance of the birth of our Savior. And we are none of us so bad off we can't give a little something of ourselves to someone in need or to a friend or a loved one as a token of our affection and esteem, even if it is not much more than a small gift. And then finally there is the ghost of Christmas future. And of course, in the play, as you know, this was the scary specter of death, an assignment coded into our DNA, an appointment pinned in man's appointment book, every man's appointment book. When we look at what Obama and company are doing to our country, unless we have a Scrooge conversion, we might never see the great Christmases of our past. But more on that tomorrow. As I watched the Christmas Carol this year, I thought further how we need such a thing to occur to our current leaders in the White House and the Capitol. You know, a visit from the ghosts of America's past, present, and future. The ghosts of America's past. Now, we might think of George Washington, Alexander Hamilton, John Quincy Adams, James Madison, but it would be an insult to these great men if we did not include the likes of, well, John Clark, John Crandall, and Obadiah Holmes and others who forged the legacy that these great founders received, and they forged it in the fires of persecution. Obadiah Holmes was the first to spill his blood for conscience' sake. Being an Anabaptist wasn't popular in those days, you know. The Massachusetts Puritans did not take kindly to their notion of soul liberty and freedom of conscience. They beat Obadiah Holmes on the bare back with a whip of three cords 30 times. The executor or the administrator of this beating laid it on heavily. Each lash was deliberate, with full strength, holding the instrument with both hands and bringing down the cords upon his bare back with all his strength like an axe upon a tree trunk. According to a historian named Bancroft, Holmes could not take rest on his back or stomach for some weeks. He could only rest on his knees and elbows, not being able to suffer any part of his body to touch the bed whereon he lay, end quote. The reason these men were persecuted and Holmes was beaten so unmercifully was that they denied infant baptism. And for that, well, these silly children of the Roman whore thought they deserved to die. That's what one of them said to them. But since the law would not allow for that, they would be beaten instead, even though they had been told they had no law to, quote, whip in that kind, end quote. I understand that the only statement Obadiah Holmes made during this beating was made to the administrator of it, quote, you have struck me with roses, end quote. He testified to some of his friends of the remarkable grace from God that was afforded to him, so much so that he testified he was hardly conscious of any great pain during the ordeal. Indeed, the Son of God attended him during his own stand in the fiery furnace of the Babylonians. I don't have time to explain all that. Many such beatings followed happily, never again upon the back of Mr. Holmes, but upon many of those who took up his message of soul liberty and freedom of conscience, you know, that all men are created equal and that every man's conscience is his own. Now, this is a great ghost of America's past, is it not? We are grateful for the great heroes who established the foundation of religious liberty, freedom of conscience, soul liberty. This back in the 1600s, by the way. And all of this upon the ground of the idea of inalienable rights that are ours by virtue of our Creator. Now we are met with some other ghosts. We come to meet with George Washington, John Quincy Adams, James Madison, Alexander Hamilton, Patrick Henry, and many others who embrace fully the notion of unalienable rights endowed to all men by our Creator, including such luminaries as Thomas Jefferson and Benjamin Franklin. Now, these men overthrew a government that assumed the elites should rule the masses, and that governance was a divine right to kings. However, these ghosts said, "We the people," and that the right to govern came from the consent of the governed. From John Locke et al. They insisted upon a system of governance that was known as representative republic. They despised democracy, by the way. Oh, that's right. You guys have been so brainwashed. Our founders despised the idea that mobs could trample the unalienable rights of individuals. They despised the tyranny of any shape, form, or fashion, and dictatorial usurpation of the laws used as tools to enslave the people. They despise the idea that a fellow who calls himself a king could arbitrarily impose taxes upon its citizens or his citizens, or create laws in a royal vacuum, making laws and then laying them upon the backs of people without their consent. They threw off arbitrary dictatorial rulers, and in their place, they establish a system of rule by laws that are made by representatives who derive their just power from we the people. Now, there is a ghost we certainly need to visit the members of Congress today. We got so many liberty Scrooges up there now, greedily taking the powers given them and using those powers to create the chains with which they will most certainly enslave us. There's another ghost we should remember. Perhaps no ghost haunts us like the ghost of slavery. My son and I recently watched, again, the great movie called Amazing Grace, premised on the life of the life story of John Newton and William Wilberforce, the men who in England broke the back of slavery. I think you might find it interesting that Obadiah Holmes was a sixth-generation ancestor of Abraham Lincoln. Imagine that. And we all know that Abraham Lincoln's... By the way, Obadiah Holmes is a famous Baptist preacher. I probably didn't mention that earlier, and I should have. We all know that Abraham Lincoln's objection to the slave trade was premised upon the essential notions of freedom of conscience, soul liberty, and the belief that every man is endowed with inalienable rights from his Creator. The essential notions of those early Baptists. So, in America's past, we thought it evil indeed to deprive a human being of his natural rights, especially the inalienable right to life, simply by creating a legal definition of person that allowed them to say slaves were not, properly speaking, persons. You know, by the way, the Supreme Court and the legislature in this country supported this absurd nonsense. Finally, through the aggressive protestations and abolitionist activity of Baptists and, by the way, Republicans, finally this evil idea was overcome by the truth. Oh, man, we need the ghosts of America's past to haunt the wicked and unreasonable men and women in our government today who have forgotten the whole point of our founding. So we welcome now the ghost of America's present. But he is not so jolly as he once was. Consider the spectacle, the House of Representatives. What a joke. Representatives pushing laws into force upon us without our consent. 60% of the people opposing this health care scam, and they're pushing it down and refusing to represent the people. As I said in my last show, they become representatives of the political machine to which they are aligned. We hear them chide those with some conscience remaining that they ought to stand up to their constituents. Well, how about our representatives standing up to the machine? They hide behind closed doors and work their deals of avarice, trading our future away for present illusory boons. Only their bony Scrooge-like fingers cling not to tuppence but to power. Hungry for power, they sell their soul to the devil, who buys it cheap, by the way. And in selling their soul, they sell our lives to future bondage and servitude, to their outrageous greed. A national debt in excess of, what did I read, $11,000 billions. It's almost incomprehensible. We're talking in the trillions here. And that is merely the debt they have already piled on our backs and the backs of our children and theirs and their children. They, voracious in their appetite for power, desire to feed their lusts yet more with yet more of our future income. They must be stopped before they destroy what the founders bequeathed to us. Consider the Senate. I mean, who lies, saying from one side of their mouth, the wicked mouths, that the bill will not fund abortions, and from the other, that it will, saying it will not include health care rationing, but every peek at it we've been able to steal from their hiding of it. And that's another thing, by the way. They keep telling us this bill is going to be so good for us and we're all going to love it. Well, then why not let us see it before you vote on it? I did a show, I think it was the last one, warning you that while they demonize the so-called profit motive, well, I'll tell you where the devil is. He's in the political motive. He knows that's where he can get actual power of law over your lives. You know, the devil's a dedicated legalist. Did you know that? He loves to use laws to enslave. The profit motive is benign in a free market economy. Why? Well, because it's self-evident and everywhere witness in our economy that where there is true competition, prices are kept down. Where price controls come in or government interferes with subsidies or other outrageous or onerous regulations and so on, then the game becomes get control of the levers of these laws as a way of controlling competition. Then what happens is this. The capitalists with the greatest amount of money can buy the lawmakers they want and use them to eliminate their competition. And I've called this in past shows capitalist communism. Now think about that. Oh, this ghost of America's present. Obama has lied so many times, only a fool would believe him now. Good night. I mean, even Cuba knows the man can't be trusted. The ghost of America's past must be sickened by the sight of Obama bowing to the Saudi king. I mean, he admitted he was a Muslim. I heard him do it with my own ears. And he is serving this king well, bringing America to her knees toward Mecca. Maybe one of his government giveaway programs will be to give every American citizen a little rug to use when they bow to Mecca. The ghost of America present, using law to redefine personhood so as to categorize certain human beings as non-persons, allowing you to murder babies in the womb. Oh, that's right. Ah, you coward. Turn off the radio, switch stations, hide your conscience from the truth. Why don't you just listen? When Wilberforce illustrated the brutality of the slave trade, I mean, going so far sometimes to force people to smell the stench of a slave ship, to see the chains, to hear the stories of the murderous behavior of the slavers. They were accused of being indelicate. He was a rabble-rouser. He was a troublemaker. Wilberforce and his band were branded as extremists. But the truth did finally prevail. And oh, what shame you will feel when the truth finally gets out and you realize that you condone, I'm talking to you liberals now, you condoned the torture of innocent babies growing in their mother's wombs by burning them alive in a saline solution, or having them cut to pieces by the doctor's scalpel, being partially delivered, having a surgical scissor inserted into the base of its neck and opened and then turned into the brain to murder the baby in the doctor's hands. I'm telling you, this is an evil, evil business, my friends. Now, somebody's saying Christmas was yesterday. Come on, give me a break. Well, you had your pie, your fine dinner, your presents are opened. And like the idolatrous Israelites, you eat and drink and rise up to play. Ha! What did the Senate do last night? What did they in their secret chambers concoct? What chains did they forge for our enslavement? Did they pass a bill that requires me to fund the murder of babies with my tax dollars? That is their desire. That is their intent. Oh, that the ghost of America's past would visit these covetous men and women whose soul is so hardened with greedy lust for power that they could look at a baby that survived an abortion lying on the table, born alive, and say, well, it survived the abortion, but it has no right to life. Finish the job. Murderers. Hateful, wicked, black-hearted, idol-worshipping murderers. What idol, you say? Oh, the idol of covetousness. That's the root of all this. The idol of a self-serving ideology that says, for example, if my daughter got pregnant out of wedlock, well, I wouldn't want her to be, quote, punished with a baby, end quote. Covetousness. Self-serving. The corrupting idolatry of covetousness that can so pervert the heart of a woman that when she's asked, when does a baby have a constitutional right to life? And answers, quote, when it's taken home from the hospital, end quote. Oh, you wretched, evil, belly-serving, foul souls. God grant you be given the mercy to smell the sulfur of your future burning in hell now, as a hopefully as a way to call you to repentance before it's everlastingly too late. God would open your eyes when Germany's conscience was awakened to the atrocities of Auschwitz. The horror of the reality was so overwhelming, it left many of them just stupefied. Of course, they went through their denial, and then they minimized it. And then came the blame-shifting game and all kinds of rationalizations about not knowing about it and it being somebody else's fault. And finally, for many at least, a cloud of embarrassing shame and reproach settled upon the conscience of that nation. But you will howl, American liberals. You will howl in a pang of conscience so great you will curl up in a fetal position and pine for the fetuses you abandoned to the murderous scalpel of hypocritical doctors because you did know. You were told, but you turned your back on the babies. Are you wicked? The foul stench of your soul must sicken him who created it. You say, oh, this is too much. Oh, you shouldn't talk like that. I know. I should fight the battle the way you've been doing it for the last 40 years. Friends, until Wilberforce forced the conscience of his nation to give attention to what was really going on in the slave trade, well, the fine liberals of his day were comfortable to go on ignoring it. Which brings us to the ghosts of America's future. By the way, are you getting this? The ghosts of America's past, a glorious past of awakening and embracing an ideology of freedom and justice for all, and a struggle to extend and to establish that great truth until all men who are created by God are indeed equal and endowed and recognized as endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, so that it includes and embraces all mankind. A glorious past, when we threw off the shackles of tyrannical government, refused to allow political leaders to lay laws and taxes upon us without our consent, throwing away the stupid idea of the divine right of kings, insisting that the king is not himself the law, but rather the law is king, and furthermore, the law is ultimately in the hands of we the people to whom our representatives are accountable. Well, you know, they cannot make unrepealable laws. That is nonsense. Harry Reid, good night. You know, I'm glad the likes of no less an honorable personage as Maharishi is saying it out loud. These political leaders today are under the influence of the spirit of tyranny. They think they're little gods with power to do whatever they want. And we the people had better listen to the ghost of America's future. Because if things continue as they are, listen, my friends, the ghost of America's future is pointing to a tombstone. And under the R.I.P. is the word America, at least as we once knew it. Under the R.I.P. is liberty. Under the R.I.P. is truth. Unless the self-idol-worshipping Scrooges of the White House and the Capitol repent and return the power of governance to the people, well, there's your future, America, under a tombstone. Well, my dear friends, what have you to say to my use of the Christmas carol? Have I shocked you? Have I unsettled you? Offended your delicate sensibilities? Why, how now, my fellow travelers to the grave, does your countenance frown upon me? How many are still listening, I wonder? How many have been offended at the plainness of my speech and turned their ear away for the brutal truth and tuned in some smooth-talking religious salesman giving you a sales pitch about a free offer of salvation to everyone who believeth? Oh, my, I better explain. Their brochures and their tracks almost look like a sales brochure for a new car or whatever. And in bold letters, you know, free, free, free. And, of course, this appeals to your covetousness. It affirms your worship of self. And by stroking the idol you worship, self, they wind you in and make you part of their social clubs. And in fact, make you twofold the child of hell than you were before. Oh, yeah. Because while it is certainly true, on this Christmas day, we acknowledge the coming into the world of the Christ who would pay the price for our redemption. But my friend, it was most certainly not free, fella. It cost the life of God's only begotten Son. Hello? And what the gospel salesman puts in fine print, we put in bold print. Repent and believe. Finally, to conclude this segment. Well, wait a minute. You know what? I'm going to have to go ahead and conclude the show. I've run over my time for the first segment. It's just move toward conclusion here. Do you understand? I think that America has followed the pulpit to this place where we have the ghost of America's future directing our attention to our tombstone, you know, just after we've watched a horrible spectacle of the world mocking our demise, you know, like Dickens' depiction of the servants selling off Scrooge's clothing to, well, we call such characters a fence, a dealer in stolen goods. Oh, yeah. What a perfect illustration, by the way. Surely you can see how well the story of Scrooge fits us just now. They got China, Japan, Europe rubbing their hands together like vultures gathering over us. The Arabs mocking us as their plant, Obama, pushes our economy into the toilet. And much of the world waiting eagerly to hear the last flush. Well, anyway, the fact is America was birthed in the Great Awakening and apparently will die in the Great Slumber. So many of you support churches that desire the praise of the world. You fear its scorn. You are paralyzed with the fear of man. And that's simply because you have long ago forsaken the fear of God. Some of you are so woefully ignorant, you actually think that's Old Testament stuff. Good night. Find 2 Corinthians 7, 1 and 2. Many of you decided that the Bible means whatever anyone reading it thinks it means. At least you support churches that have taken that position. And then you whine about a court that does the same thing with the Constitution, Bill of Rights, and other amendments. So it's okay if your preacher or your church or your religious affiliation plays with the Bible, but don't let those politicians mess with your Constitution, man. It's interesting, isn't it? I wonder what God thinks about that. You continue to support churches and pastors who freely rewrite the gospel so that it will be more palatable to the world, like Jehudi of old, who took a penknife to Jeremiah's prophecies and cut out what he found objectionable. Oh, you do the same thing in your own way. And yet the same sorry lot of you have the audacity to be offended when liberals rewrite our history. Good night. You carefully circumscribe those elements of the faith that lay serious demands of self-sacrificing discipleship and follow a path that encourages irreverence toward God and scoffs at holiness, which is separation from the world and public identification with God, by the way. But you want to look like the world, talk like the world, and in large measure, you think and act like the world. And yet you have the temerity to complain about politicians who are irreverent toward God, lax in their own attendance to worship, superficial in their faith commitments? Oh, come on. You are appalled that Congress would manipulate the laws and the rules in order to force their will upon you? But hey, you have long manipulated the laws of God and fudged on the rules to force your own will in this world. Well, I think you get the point. Christians decided to reinterpret the Constitution of the Kingdom of God. That's the Bible, friend. Until it has become virtually meaningless as an authoritative guide for their lives. And they did this a long time before jurists started playing so fast and free with our legal documents. And if you think God is impressed with your complaints against those who dare to defile the Constitution, while you think any version of the Bible is fine so long as it's easy to read, and you haven't bothered to check out what they're selling you and what you're swallowing, you have so little regard for God's Word, tell me, why should he care about your Constitution? Hello? Bible thump alert! Bible thump alert! Oh my, this is going to shock some of you. Oh, mercy. In Jeremiah 2, verse 33, thus saith the Lord, why trimmest thou thy way to seek love? Therefore hast thou also taught the wicked ones thy ways, end quote. Think about this. Yes, the church has trimmed her ways to seek the love of the world. But notice the last clause here. God indicted Judah because they led the way in debauchery and sin and idol worship. Today, one reason the world despises Christianity is because it is so despicable. I've got to conclude, and what better way to conclude this show than to point out one of the pallbearers of America? It's a fellow who is reputed to be the most famous evangelist of all history. In fact, he is loved by all. And I have special picking rights because I happen to be of the same label as he is, Baptist. Somehow, he has succeeded at trimming the gospel message of the hellfire and brimstone of his youth, putting repentance in fine print or redefining it to fit the Catholic Church view of it. I heard him say once that he no longer believes in a literal fire burning souls in hell. And let me tell you what I've never heard him say. I've never heard him say that abortion is the murder of the unborn child in the mother's womb. I've never heard him direct our attention to the truth that John the Baptist leaped in his mother's womb when he but heard the voice of Mary, who at the time was carrying Jesus in hers. Babies in the womb, leaping, acknowledging one another. Think about it. But of course, these problem births might have been handled differently today. I mean, who could even imagine the embarrassment Mary might have felt carrying a baby at that time and presenting herself to Joseph trying to explain this whole thing? Whoa. Or Elizabeth becoming pregnant at a very advanced age. Of course, you know how it is today. You just go visit the abortuary. Anyway, Mr. Graham somehow cannot get this out of Scripture. The idea that the baby in the womb is a living person. You know, like from Psalm number 139, verses 14 to 17. Bible thump alert. Bible thump alert. Quote, "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them," end quote. Now, did you hear that? God is describing children before they're shaped and formed and presented in the womb. Well, anyway, if you could see from that passage alone that the baby in the womb is a person that God is developing and so on, then you've got more light than Billy Graham has, the famous Baptist evangelist, loved by the world. And you could see what he apparently is incapable of seeing. Isn't that amazing? And there is the illustration of the problem. You see, he is asleep. He is sleeping while the babies are being murdered in the womb. He is sleeping while homosexuality rises in our land. He won't even step forward and tell us that homosexuality is an abomination to God. All right, anyway, my point is that we are certainly in a mess. And the fact is, the pulpit has led us into this mess. The glad truth is that it could also lead us out of it. I mean, just as God empowered the preaching in the days leading up to the revolution, gave birth to the Great Awakening, which in turn sparked the movement that led to liberty. Well, it can happen again. So come on over to the Lighthouse and let's get her done. Well, I'm looking at my time. I've got to wrap it up. I've lit the lights of the belfry arch that signal the enemy is on the march. Get these shows into all the hands you can. Check in my fellow reveres. Maybe I write Savage and ask him if he's okay with me using that. Call in and let me know you see the lights are on. Call 1-888-770-8000. That is 1-888-770-8000. And say, "Lights on," if you agree with me, and we'll commit to spread the word. If you disagree, well, that's easy to register your thumbs down vote. Just call in and say, "Lights off." You can reach me by email. Go to our website. You'll find it at santamarialighthouse.org, or you can go to baptistlighthouse.org. But if you don't know how to spell Baptist, go to santamarialighthouse.org. It'll take you to a page. Click on the Contact Us button in the menu bar at the top under the Lighthouse, and it'll take you to a page. Scroll down a bit. You'll see a place where you can register your response, lights on or lights off, and then a text box where you can send me a message. So give me a call at 1-888-770-8000 and leave a message for me. Lights on if you agree, lights off if you disagree, or let me have a piece of your mind to chew on. I can take it. God bless you. God save America. I'll see you in church.